Welcome to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast. To strengthen decision-making, the highest performing organizations use the lens of geography to view data. When that lens is combined with AI, hidden patterns emerge, even in massive amounts of data at a scale not seen before. That is the power of combining AI and geography, also known as GeoAI.
We call it the geographic approach to AI. That's really what GeoAI is. If what is important, if when is important, and how is important, GeoAI tries to answer the question for AI that where is extremely important.
Esri Chief Technology Officer Jay Theodore discusses with Esri's Chief Marketing Officer Mariana Cantor why harnessing the power of spatial analysis with AI is such a transformational tool for leaders and decision makers.
Hi, Jay, and welcome to the Esri and the Science Aware podcast.
Thanks, Mariana. I'm super thrilled to be here and very excited to dive into today's conversation.
How long before we can truly see productivity gains from this technology?
I would say because of the prevalence of all these devices that we have access to and the value of AI in our everyday lives, right from sorting out all the photos that we've taken to translating a voice message into relevant text that you can just read when you're not able to listen, it's already penetrated our lives. And so to that extent, I think it's just a matter of time where we don't talk so much about AI itself, but we talk about how it's used in different ways. So I think right now we're talking about advancements in months and years and not decades. That's how I put it.
Where do you see the greatest value created in business?
In terms of greatest value, I would say there are two ways we should look at it. The first thing is how AI can assist humans, because humans are creative. Humans have extreme amount of reasoning and perception and experiences, and we need more time from humans, also known as experts, to look at some of the large problems that we have at hand, to be more creative, whether it's in healthcare or in environmental issues, quality of life, sustainability, and all of these. I think we need more human time, and that means automating lots of things that AI could help automate in our everyday life. The other half is to do with the massive volumes of data that we collect, from which we can find insights, we can arrive at predictions and conclusions. But as humans, we can only look at so many, you can say, quantities of data at any given point. Even if it's computer-assisted in visualization and analysis, there's still some limits to that. But the hope is that with AI, we can look at magnitude times more data in trying to sift through it, trying to find like the needle in the haystack or the patterns that emerge when we look at trillions of data points is quite different from the patterns that emerge from thousands or millions of data points.
I just saw a survey done with close to 3,000 researchers who publish in top AI journals, and the findings were somewhat surprising. A third to half of those surveyed, about 3,000 people, expressed concern about serious risk associated with AI, and these are AI researchers, so they must know what they're talking about. But also a large majority predicted that full automation is within 5 years, something like actually developing a payment processing system completely autonomously. How do you think about risk and reward trade-offs?
The risks are there, and the rewards are also pretty huge. If you take rewards, there are huge benefits, like efficiency and productivity. But some of the challenges, of course, are that when we apply these things, they mimic a human behavior, like when it comes to discriminatory outcomes or unfair outcomes based on biases being amplified because of the data on which these models are trained on. But in addition, these kinds of models are very good at hallucinating and making them look like that's the truth. So as humans, we need to start deciphering them and also teaching machines to decipher that. So we have to have explicit design of such systems where humans are actively involved in the decision-making along with machines. We've been doing it to some extent with the previous generations, but a lot more would be necessary in order to enhance these systems to be more accurate, reliable, and fair.
Jay, what is GeoAI?
It's a fusion of AI techniques with the field of geography. We're like harnessing the power of AI to do analysis, to interpret data, to derive insights from all kinds of data, most of it being spatial data. Because we have a lot of these data sets, GeoAI is helping us transform significantly on trying to transform the ability to understand that, as well as to apply it to some of the most challenging problems that we have. So it's also about being able to use video, images, text. So it's not just about spatial tabular data. It's really bringing location intelligence to a yet another level using AI. We call it the geographic approach to AI. That's really what GeoAI is. If what is important, if when is important, and how is important, GeoAI tries to answer the question for AI that where is extremely important in any understanding and any decision making.
Can you give us some examples of how GeoAI systems work in real life?
Sure. There are many examples. I'll just pick a few. The first one is related to the data itself. We collect massive volumes of data. How do you make it better data, useful data? GeoAI can process massive volumes of very diverse geospatial data sets. This includes satellite imagery, LiDAR data, or GPS data, and of course, traditional geospatial data itself. I know in the case of the Census Bureau trying to optimize how they keep the data up to date. So it's not happening once in every 4 years that it's accurate. So the way that's done is by a collection of different sources of data. And then only if absolutely essential to keep it up to date, would you send someone to a business or to a home to collect that data, because that's expensive. And similarly, this handles both the scale, the volume of the data that it can work with, as well as the resolution. It can even bump up the resolution of imagery nowadays. Probably the area where it's most advanced in terms of scale and acceptance of use is computer vision with remote sensing data. These are straightforward because they identify objects of interest, identify land cover types, or the health of vegetation, changes in the environment over time, and so on. These are things that analysts would do visually, but our eyes are only so accurate that they can detect things at a certain level. But nowadays, imagery is at a much more accurate level that machines can process them better, identify objects, for example, better. And so be able to use it for understanding deforestation, monitoring damages, and all of those cases better than even humans can. So with regard to climate change, there's some like very specific areas I can talk about where AI can be hugely beneficial. One area is energy efficiency. where AI is able to analyze the usage patterns, recommend improvements, reduce not only greenhouse gas emissions, but also where solar can be used more effectively, where wind farming can be more effective, and during what seasons you can balance between one form of energy source and another. Based on many factors, weather is one factor, economic conditions and usage is another factor, distribution is yet another, distribution related to storage of energy as well as use of energy. So that's like in the large scope of energy efficiency, and you could even say renewable energy itself. But then there is the aspect of climate modeling itself, where can you be more precise about predicting what might happen? It requires a lot of modeling and lots of data, which we've collected over decades. The problem with the data is that we have lots of good data from different parts of the world, but not so good in terms of a collection and accuracy in other parts of the world. And collectively, we are all impacted by climate change. So it's a global problem, even though there can be actionable local influences that impact it. So I think that balance going from local to regional to global requires us to process lots of data, applying different models. So just all of these things coming together in the larger context of modeling the world that we are in terms of climate and predicting what might happen if we take some action in certain area and what might happen if we don't. And lastly, in terms of like businesses, AI can help in predicting for the market, like for example, site selection, supply chain efficiencies, trying to understand customers and their needs better. And then there's also following customer behavior in terms of social media coming in. Once you, let's say, release a product, how do customers respond and what are the pros and cons in what was done? So there's a loop back to that AI can facilitate because it can look at all forms of data that comes as feedback and take that into account and tie it to what decision that was made by the business triggered that kind of a response. So we can use it for very concrete predictive analysis of various market characteristics because humans have to come to an understanding that it is okay to use a model or it is okay, and make those accommodations and changes in processes, procedures, policies, changes in how we do what we do, because it is going to impact humans significantly, and how we adapt will matter a lot.
Jay, thank you so much. A pleasure as always.
Thank you, Mary and I. It was great having this conversation.
Thank you for listening to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast. And thanks to Jay Theodore for explaining how combining AI and spatial thinking unlocks greater value in data. If you like this episode, please share it with a colleague.